Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about from Aero to Oak Ridge, the UFO cover-up. That's correct, from Aero to Oak Ridge, the UFO cover-up. Now, you can find this article at agitator.substack.com. I'll put the links at the Ko-Fi and Locals website. Fascinating article, I have to tell you. They got a great picture to begin with here of the Oak Ridge Laboratories. You know, people want to come at me about talking about the deep state, talking, exposing secrecy, and how really we're on the outside looking in. And it's amazing to me that there are still people out there that foolishly believe that there's no such thing as the deep state, that all of our government employees are looking out for our best interest, and that there's no such thing as a conspiracy theory. And then if you think otherwise, well, then you're just a lunatic. Well, the real lunatics are the people that believe this nonsense, that we live in this, you know, rainbow pie world where nobody wants to do anything bad to us and nobody wants to keep anything from us. And this article really goes to expose what's happening or what could be happening with this UFO recovery program that a lot of us think exists, and the secrecy and the just these concentric rings, as I talk about, of secrecy that's there to keep us from seeing what's really going on. Now, the title of this article is Sean Kirkpatrick's New Job is at a UFO Hotspot Run by the Department of Justice, Department of Energy and Battelle Institute. Interesting. The Pentagon UFO chief is poetically departing his position at the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office for Oak Ridge National Laboratory, a research facility mired in a long history of UFO sightings. So here we have Sean Kirkpatrick, you know, the guy that says, that basically has told us that there's no such thing as UFOs, they're all explainable, the Mosul sphere doesn't defy the laws of physics. Yeah, that guy. Come out and without naming him, really did try, I think, to shame David Grush. Ran the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office that resolved nothing. Well, now he's a bigwig here at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. And the article has a picture of this lab from the sky. It's massive. It sets on, I think, around 60,000 acres. Think about that, 9 miles by 10 miles of land. Just unbelievable. And what kind of access do we have to it? Well, none. It says, while listening to a recent episode of his podcast, Need to Know, Australian journalist Ross Coulthart mentioned he was giving a tip to closely examine Oak Ridge National Laboratory's website for a hiring announcement of the now-to-be dearly departed Pentagon UFO chief, Sean Kirkpatrick, Ph.D. Upon hearing this news, I was intrigued and immediately scoured the internet for official confirmation of Kirkpatrick's long-speculated move away from the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO. A simple search of Sean Kirkpatrick, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, revealed a top Google link to his biography on the laboratory's government website. Yeah, I looked this up on the government site, too. You can go there and check it out for yourself. I don't like to put government links on my website, sorry. But definitely, it looks like he's working over there. Sadly, public access to the link is not allowed at this time. It isn't necessarily a surprise, given Kirkpatrick's polarizing and controversial nature in the world of unexplained aerial phenomena. His new employer likely wants to avoid unwanted attention being drawn to their new hire. Kirkpatrick hasn't exactly followed in the footsteps of his spiritual predecessor, who ran the U.S. government's last public-facing UFO program. As a result of his alleged refusal to follow up on stunning whistleblower testimony, Kirkpatrick has been seemingly vilified by the UFO community at large. Take some time to pursue through the UFO Twitter or Reddit, and you'll see what I mean. Now, yeah, he did get hired over there as like a chief engineer, and we can get into that later. But, you know, the guy that was supposed to resolve all of the UFO stuff and resolve nothing, just told us nothing to see here, beat it, now working at Oak Ridge Laboratory as, I think, their chief engineer. Amazing. Is criticism of Kirkpatrick justified? It says, well, it's no secret that his tenure as AARO chief has been full of notable inconsistencies about UFOs being technology from a foreign country or alien vehicles bear a stark contrast compared to previous remarks of his where he stated that none of the military-related sightings in his office had studied could be attributed to a foreign power or non-human intelligence. The contradictory nature of his rhetoric highlights what many people have pointed out when putting Kirkpatrick's public comments under the microscope. He's either outright lying or wholly unsure what is his stance, or both. Well, this is called talking out of both sides of your mouth. It's something that we just see all the time from this guy. Frankly, we see this all the time from these deep state actors. It goes on. This is one of the most peculiar stories from Kirkpatrick's time with AARO, was his statement that whistleblower David Grush, a former military intelligence official who had previously worked in the Air Force and the National Reconnaissance Office, had refused request from AARO for an interview. Since then, Grush has outright refuted these claims, stating, "I have zero emails or calls from them. That is a lie." So while he's telling you that Grush is refusing to talk to them, oh, hey, we tried to get a hold of Grush, but he won't respond, Grush is coming back and saying, "Listen, I didn't talk to these guys. They haven't made any effort to contact me whatsoever." As far as the actual site showing that Kirkpatrick is working at Oak Ridge, I just want to, I'll give you the address here. It's www.ornl.gov, www.ornl.gov. And then you go to the slide, just type, if you, all you have to do is just type in Sean Kirkpatrick, Oak Ridge, and it'll tell you here, the bio: Dr. Kirkpatrick joined Oak Ridge National Laboratory in December 2023 as the Chief Technology Officer for Defense and Intelligence Programs within the National Security Science Directorate. In this role, Dr. Kirkpatrick serves as a scientific advisor, helping NSSD apply the lab's broad capabilities to emerging science and technology trends in the defense intelligence communities and to other classified R&D challenges. His unique experience and significant depth of expertise in scientific and technical intelligence, R&D leadership, and operations helps the laboratory to understand the workforce, resources, and R&D infrastructure required to meet the national security missions of our sponsors. Dr. Kirkpatrick retired from federal senior service in 2023. Prior to that, he answered to the Deputy Secretary of Defense to stand up and lead the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office in early 2022. Dr. Kirkpatrick was born in Columbus, Georgia, to an Army family. He grew up in the Atlanta area, where he attended the University of Georgia as an undergraduate to study physics. Dr. Kirkpatrick finished his PhD work in the nonlinear and non-equilibrium phonon dynamics of rare earth doped fluoride crystals, that's interesting, also at the University of Georgia, and is currently an adjunct professor at UGA. And then it goes ahead and kind of fills out his bio here. So this is definitely the same Dr. Kirkpatrick, that Sean Kirkpatrick, that was head of AARO, the same guy that was telling you that no, none of this stuff is real, that Mosul Orb doesn't violate the laws of physics. Now he's over here working at Oak Ridge Laboratory, helping to apparently design weapons, top secret weapons, that nobody else knows about. Revolving door. Okay, just goes from being an employee of the DOD. He's retired. Within 3 months, he's working at the Oak Ridge Laboratories, which turns out is managed by a nonprofit company. We'll get to that in just a minute. So that's the revolving door. These guys never leave. They just keep accumulating intel. They keep accumulating contacts. They are the deep state. I mean, they're the periphery of this deep state. It's a big club, and you and I ain't in it, as Carlin would say. So there we have Sean Kirkpatrick, who was supposed to be the guy resolving all these UFO cases, didn't resolve any of them, just told you that nothing, none of this is real, shut up, move on. And now, what's he doing now? Well, now he's demonstrated that he can keep a secret, and he's working for Oak Ridge Labs as an engineer to develop these weapon systems, this emerging technology. Get that word, emerging technology? Where's it emerging from? I don't know, perhaps it's something we've captured. And now they got a guy like Sean Kirkpatrick that can help try to back engineer this stuff. We know, this is established. Sean Kirkpatrick, former head of AARO, now working as a bigwig engineer there for Oak Ridge Laboratory. Both these places, one department is supposed to resolve these UFO cases, nothing gets resolved. So we end up sending him to this giant, I don't even know how much the budget for this place is at Oak Ridge. It's like a 60,000-acre compound where he can research emerging technologies. How convenient. Just carry the secrets with you as you go. But the thing is, he was working for the government. Now, this is one of these private kind of non-governmental agencies, I guess you could say. The writer goes on here and says, as we all know, the Pentagon is quite clever with how it crafts its press statements. Kirkpatrick is technically retiring from federal service. He is leaving AARO, a Pentagon agency, for a national laboratory that is semi-private. You have to appreciate their efforts to dance around the semantics. Well, that's where your deep state lives at, right there, okay? We're talking about the deep state. We're talking about this quasi-group, this blob, as some people call it, of these nonprofits, these private companies that exist between the lines and the Department of Defense. They're not subject to FOIA. They are cloaked in secrecy, and they blend in with the government. They have no accountability. They are able to socialize all the cost of doing this stuff while they privatize all the profits. It's the opposite of what a democratic republic should be. It goes on, it says, Oak Ridge National Laboratory is sponsored by the Department of Energy and managed by none other than the Battelle Memorial Institute. That is Battelle, B-A-T-T-E-L-L-E, Memorial Institute, a private nonprofit company that was originally founded in 1929. Whoa, wait a minute. So we have the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, where they developed what a big part of our nuclear weapons. It's paid for by taxpayers, but it's managed by a private nonprofit company that was originally founded in 1929. Isn't that amazing? Now, you see, this is why the founding fathers didn't want corporations to last more than 99 years, probably a lot less. They warned us. If you go back and read some of their writings, the founding fathers warned us because they already knew about the Hudson Bay Company and these other companies that had been chartered by the British royalty, and they saw how these things were able to just monopolize whole segments of the market and take over, like they took over the fur industry. They said, let's make a corporation have a limited lifespan on it. That way it has to be dissolved at some point, and the corporation doesn't become more powerful than the people. But what did we end up with? We ended up with a Supreme Court that, in my opinion, just committed treason, as far as I can see. And they said, well, hey, wait a minute. A corporation is as good as a person. Really? You can't lock a corporation up. You can't seem to put it to death. So you end up with a corporation that gets all the rights of a person, but can't suffer any of the consequences. And what do we have here? We have a private corporation, quote, nonprofit, put in charge of managing a public resource, Oak Ridge National Laboratory. And then they can just stuff that full of deep state actors. All of the apparatus put into effect in 1929, so that if it hadn't happened already, if one of these UFOs would happen to crash land or be taken down, we would have the buildings, the people, everything ready to capture that craft, secure it away somewhere, and reverse engineer it, all the while depersoning anybody who said that might be what's going on. That's your deep state at work. Headquartered in Columbus, Ohio, the organization has had its hands in nearly everything. Agribusiness, national security, material sciences, biotechnology, and management of federally funded research facilities like Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Battelle manages or co-manages several other federal facilities with the Department of Energy. Furthermore, Battelle is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization and cannot be subject to FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request. It also has clearance under the Atomic Energy Act, the law passed in 1954, which established the basis for the highest level of classified information in the United National Security Apparatus. Battelle looks a hell of a lot like a government agency and acts like one too, except it doesn't have any federal oversight. Get that? No federal oversight. That is what the deep state is. They've got all of our resources. They've got all of the power. They've got none of the accountability. Zero oversight. But yet people are still, I don't know, I want to say dumb, but people seem to be offended by that word. People are still ignorant enough, perhaps, or complicit enough to try to say the deep state doesn't exist. It's just in a figment of a conspiracy theorist's imagination. While we have this so-called nonprofit managing one of our biggest government resources, the guys that invented the atomic bomb, managed by a private nonprofit company, not subject to FOIA. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. Sounds like the perfect organization to secretly study UFOs, right? It says, it turns out Battelle has been interested in unexplained and aerial phenomena since the early stages of the Cold War. Wow, so we have a guy, Sean Kirkpatrick, who seemed to have no interest in UFOs, in charge of resolving UFO sightings, suddenly put into this high-up position as an engineer at Oak Ridge Labs, which is managed by a private non-profit corporation, Battelle, which has a long history of interest in UFOs. The secret 1952 CIA document is acquired by the Black Vault, revealed a Battelle project that was attempting to create a machine indexing system to catalog official reports of UFOs, which sounds a lot like the original purpose of both Project Blue Book and AARO. It's hard to imagine a Cold War era database being the only UFO-related project Battelle has ever worked on. In fact, Jacques Vallée discussed the company's interest in the mystery during a December 2020 episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. During the episode, Vallée discusses a famous 1952 UFO sighting that took place over Washington, D.C. Now, we've all seen pictures of the actual craft, recreations of that. Some people think it's actual UFOs. It's not. It's just a Photoshop to show what people saw of these flying saucers, orbs, or whatever they were, hovering over the White House and the Capitol there at D.C. It says, Vallée states the Air Force scrambled planes to intercept the radar anomalies, which had also been visualized by civilians on the ground. According to him, the pilots were given authorization to shoot at the unidentified objects and did so successfully as a metallic piece from one of the objects was recovered. The metal was allegedly given to an unnamed government agency or private contractor. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we just talked a couple days ago about the DOD missing $2.39 trillion and how a lot of this money, they think, is that it's missing parts. Missing parts that the Department of Defense claims that it owns, but the defense contractors may or may not have. So we're going to trust the same people with downed UFOs that can't even account for parts to the F-35 or to our Abrams tank or whatever. Sounds like a plan. Later in this part of the conversation, Rogan pushes Vallée to disclose the secretive info he knows, but the French scientist is hesitant to share his sensitive knowledge. Documentary filmmaker James Fox, who appears alongside Vallée in the episode, urges him to indirectly name the company that holds the unknown material. Vallée states he discovered a memo in J. Allen's Project Blue Book files, which was written by Battelle. The company wanted to shut down all public discussion on UFOs at the time, according to Vallée. I would just suggest to Vallée that he comes clean on all the stuff he knows. I mean, what, he's like in his 80s or something, isn't he? What's he waiting for? I mean, does he literally think he's going to live forever? But some of these old guys that are in their 70s and 80s and 90s that have this information, do society a service and tell us what's going on. I mean, you're not going to live forever. Think about your accountability in the next life, if you will. Don't you want to make things right? Through this indirect confirmation, Vallée attributes the recovery of the metal to Battelle. Remember, Battelle is one of the top organizations in the country for material sciences. There is no better candidate to disseminate materials of unknown origin than to Battelle, especially when they control almost all of the major laboratories in the United States with their FOIA-exempt status and ability to operate under the Atomic Energy Act, thus allowing them to maintain pertinent programs outside the jurisdiction of executive and state secrets. Not accountable to anybody. And I'm supposed to trust a faceless, nameless bureaucrat. And I'm supposed to cringe and cower when some moron tells me that there's no such thing as a deep state, that this is all a conspiracy theory, when they're doing it right in broad daylight in front of us. This is the organization Sean Kilpatrick is going to work for as the Chief Technology Officer for Defense and Intelligence Programs in the laboratory's National Security Sciences Directorate. Well, from what I've seen in Sean Kilpatrick, this is a great fit. On the surface, it's not an unusual move. Dr. Kilpatrick has worked in a similar role before. He was assigned to the position of Chief Technology Officer for a joint CIA-DIA program in 2007 and later became a division chief in the DIA. Before his stints in the CIA and the DIA, he also worked as a program manager in the National Reconnaissance Office. Given Kilpatrick's history in the CIA, I wonder if he personally knows Doug Wolf, the man who set up the CIA's Office of Global Access in 2003, which was recently outed as the alleged unit which manages the government's crash retrieval program of UFOs. Wouldn't that be an interesting connection? Oh, wouldn't it be, though? So, you know, it makes you think that David Grush is really getting close to things here. He talks about these crash retrievals, and boy, they get angry. Well, are you comfortable with the CIA controlling crashed UFOs? I'm not. Wasn't Donald Trump supposed to release the documents on the Kennedy assassination? Everyone suspects it was the CIA because he was, I think, on the verge of cutting their funding, had really mucked up their attack on Cuba, wanted to put us back on, you know, wanted to make sure we had enough silver and gold in the bank to cover all the dollar bills we printed. All things the CIA did not want. I mean, if you can't print money at will, how can you wage wars you can't afford? But it seems like if those documents only implicated Oswald and a couple of other know-nothings who are dead, wouldn't Trump have released them? Doesn't it seem like it's far more deep than that? Didn't Trump come out and say, well, if you'd seen these documents, you'd know why I didn't release them? I don't know. All I can say is get some courage. Do the right thing. Make the hard choice. But I don't see that happening. Because, you know, this is showing us who runs who. That's what this is showing us. The deep state. It runs the rest of us. Pretty clear. If we take a closer look at Kilpatrick's move to Oak Ridge National Laboratory, it becomes a bit more puzzling given the site's long-standing historical connection to the infamous Manhattan Project, an Oppenheimer-led Los Alamos facility tasked with designing the atomic bomb would need enriched uranium ready for nuclear fusion. So Oak Ridge began as a result of land surveys, which were conducted by the S1 section, also known as the Committee on Uranium. The group was started by President Franklin Roosevelt in 1939, following the previous discovery of atomic fusion by the Germans at the end of 1938. S1 advised the U.S. Army to rapidly seize the location in the summer of 1942. Further plans were developed in September of that same year when the committee met at Bohemian Grove in California. Interesting that they would be meeting at Bohemian Grove. If you get a chance to watch that Alex Jones video from him, I think 30 years ago or whatever it was, 35 years ago, sneaking in there, worth a watch. A forceful U.S. government land grab would occur later that year when Colonel Leslie Groves ordered the seizure of 60,000 acres. Keep in mind, that's 93 square miles, 9 miles by 10 miles roughly. The location matched the military's criteria not only for its rural nature but also for its proximity to Knoxville, Tennessee, and the availability of water supply from the Clinch River for reactor cooling. The U.S. government now had its site to begin enriching uranium for the bomb. In 1943, the site would become known as Clinton Engineer Works and was later renamed to Clinton National Laboratory. And it goes on, talks a little bit about more of the other labs that were managed here. Monsanto, Union Carbide, Martin Marietta, Lockheed, just a who's who. All of Oak Ridge National Laboratory activities were classified until 2000, when most of the site's projects became unclassified. After World War II, during a period of time when the laboratory's ventures were heavily classified, given its secret endeavors as part of the Manhattan Project, high strangeness began to unfold in and around the location. In June 1947, a Mr. W.R. Presley photographed a strange object over Oak River, Tennessee, which was cataloged by the FBI. 2 years later, on June 20th, 1949, a couple witnessed three objects over the town. And then between March 1st and March 6th, 1950, a Mr. Stuart Attic described strange readings on his ham radar scope. The objects he discovered appeared at a similar time of day compared to previous sightings. Interestingly, on May 25th, 1949, a flat object described as metallic in nature was seen by five people around Loudoun, Tennessee, a small town just south of Oak Ridge. The object was described as being accompanied by a flapping noise. These events came to a head in October 1950 at 23:25 hours on October 12, 1950. The Knoxville Airport radar unit stumbled upon a collection of unidentified targets over the restricted zone at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. A fighter was scrambled and made interceptions of the radar hits, but could not find anything at the location. By the early morning hours of October 13, 1950, additional radar hits were seen once again, but the same fighter aircraft was not able to visualize the targets during additional passes of the location. 2 days later, Tennessee State Police officers saw strange objects above one of the original secret gates to Oak Ridge utilized during World War II. Radar from the nearby McGee Tyson Airport would confirm these sightings. The airport also reported the acquisition of strange, unintelligible readings. The next day, similar objects were seen again by additional state police personnel. Nearby security guards would subsequently report hearing odd sounds coming from the sky. The next few days were met with additional UFO sightings by townsfolk and authorities in the area. Well, seems kind of funny. You know, they have all this stuff going on down there, all this research and pre-work being done for the atomic bombs. And what happens? UFOs show up. As I read through declassified FBI documents detailing these Cold War-era sightings in and around the vicinity of Oak Ridge, I stumbled upon longer descriptions of these encounters given by the Tennessee State Police officers and Atomic Energy security troopers who saw these objects. The October 1950 sightings mentioned above, the accounts given in these documents are lengthy, so I've attached the screenshots from the PDF file. It says, and you can go over here, you can take a look at it. Here's one here, we'll just read the first one. It says, on October 13, 1950, Atomic Energy Security Patrol Troop Edward B. Reimer and a caretaker, John Moneymaker, from the University of Tennessee Research Farm at Oak Ridge, saw an object about 12,000 to 15,000 feet above Soloway Gate of the control zone. This object appeared to be an aircraft which was starting to make an outside loop, trailing smoke behind. Soon, these two men realized that the formerly described smoke behind the aircraft was a tail. This object continued to descend in a controlled dive, much slower than an aircraft would dive, and when it approached the ground, it leveled off and flew slowly parallel to the ground. This object came within 210 feet of the two observers and was paralleling the ground at approximately the speed that a man could walk, at a height of approximately 6 feet. Trooper Reimer attempted to approach the object, but as he approached, the object became smaller and started moving in a southeasterly direction. This object is said to have approached a 9-foot cyclone chain link fence and made a controlled movement to clear the fence, then a willow tree, then a telephone post and wire, after which the object gained momentum and altitude and cleared a hill at approximately 1 mile away. The object appeared to be pear-shaped. When this object was over the hill, it was still visible as the same-sized object that was observed when only 50 feet away. The explanation given was that this object grew larger as it gained altitude and speed. Approximately 5 minutes later, the object appeared again, having reappeared from approximately the same location from which it had disappeared. The object was seen again 5 minutes later for approximately 10 seconds. Man, so you have this shape-shifting, size-shifting UFO reported by this trooper and this other security guy. He goes on here, the author says, these accounts given by eyewitnesses above are just a small fraction of the cases discussed in the collection of declassified FBI documents regarding sightings in and around Oak Ridge. If you're interested in reading about more anomalous cases that took place in the vicinity of the National Laboratory during that time period, I highly recommend you going through those documents and memos. They are truly profound and demonstrate a significant pattern of events indicative of an underlying mystery that may be deeply connected to the history of Oak Ridge. And then the article goes on here. I won't finish the whole thing up, but it finishes up here and says, Dr. Kirkpatrick might have known there was more to this mystery than what he publicly disclosed during his tenure as AARO chief, and maybe, just maybe, that is why he was chosen for his new role at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. I think you can see the connection here. We have going clear back into the 1929, this Patel organization, a nonprofit private company. They take this company, they put it in charge of controlling this massive Oak Ridge Laboratory, 60,000 acres, the place where they began to do all this research for atomic bombs. They put this under the auspices of this private company. So they're giving up our control as taxpayers, our legal right to hold these people accountable, to manage this stuff. It's being turned over to private nonprofit companies. Well, someone's profiting, you know, the people that work there at least. And then here we go forward, you know, almost 100 years later, and through, I don't know, half a dozen to maybe a dozen different agencies and departments that are supposed to resolve this whole question of UFOs. Nothing ever gets resolved, just gets covered up. And here, this most recent development, we have Sean Kirkpatrick, the guy in charge of AARO, who was supposed to resolve the UFO phenomena, who resolved nothing, simply told us that we didn't see anything that wasn't man-made, and that things like the Mosul orb did not violate the laws of physics when they clearly do. They take that guy, who has this long history of working with the Central Intelligence Agency, the DIA, all these different intelligence agencies, who was born into an army family. This is generational. So we take this person whose whole life has been steeped in secrecy and in this cocoon of the deep state at a generational level. And once he's done his little job there, this little acting job at AARO of not resolving anything and stalling people for a little bit longer, getting you know, the message out there that only kooks believe in UFOs, then he takes this high-level job at Oak Ridge Labs, where he could put that engineering degree to work. We could just see this. It's not just a revolving door where people start out with the government and they revolve into these private jobs, these jobs that can't be FOIA'd. It's beyond that at this point. It's a revolving door on a generational level. It's almost overwhelming when you think about the amount of secrecy, the amount of cover-up, and the amount of deception that has occurred, all at taxpayer expense. And this is why I say we have to crowdsource our own disclosure. We are never, ever going to get truth from these deep state actors who have been playing this game now for generations, since 1929 and before, the same families controlling the information about UFOs. It's time that we step out on our own. We do our own investigations, we have our own conversations, and we have our own disclosure. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.